Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're in Galatians chapter 5. This is day number 200. Just over 6 months through our three-year journey through the Bible, so we got a long ways to go. We're going to have over 1,000 of these by the time we're done, but we've reached 200. Galatians chapter 5 is a great blessing, wonderful chapter about living in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It's really the answer to, well, if we're going to set aside the Mosaic Law and its ceremonial requirements of cleanliness and holiness, how are we going to be clean and holy, right? That's the big question. So this is really the answer in Galatians chapter 5. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for calling us to be your own and for calling us to walk by faith and obedience in you. We pray that you would bless our time together in Galatians 5. Help us to walk in conformity to your word. Help us to walk in loving obedience to your Son. Help us to walk empowered by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That's Galatians 5 in the English Standard Version. Powerful chapter. It begins with freedom, the freedom that Christ has set us free. And it ends with walking in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So Paul is here really contrasting two very different ways of living life. One is relying on our own natural human ability and our own natural human effort, and that would include our own ability to be able to keep a list of rules and regulations and adhere to a written code. All of that is the way of the flesh. It's self-reliant. We may talk about grace. We may talk about, you know, only being empowered by the grace of God to be able to do so. But if we're focused on being right before God by keeping a set of laws, even laws that God gave through Moses, this ceremonial law of justification and dietary laws and feast days and festivals and ceremonies and outward forms of worship and holiness, these things are not... Paul is so clear and so strong. He says, if you go down that road, Christ is of no advantage to you, and you are severed from Christ if you want to be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Why? Because if you go back to the old covenant law system, and you think that by adherence to that, by being circumcised, by keeping the dietary laws, by keeping the Jewish festival days, the Mosaic festival days, if by keeping those things you are attaining a righteousness before God, you are doing God's will and are righteous, then why did Christ come and die? Why was Christ the fulfillment of that law as the one who was in his own flesh circumcised for us, cut off from God for us and for our sin? Why did he fulfill all of these things so that they would be completed and that we would be given a perfect righteousness and holiness in him? If we're going to go back to the shadows, if we're going to go back to the anticipation, if we're going to go back to the preview, then what good is the fulfillment? What good is the accomplishment? What good is justification by faith in Christ and the application of his righteousness? He says you might as well not have the cross at all. But he says in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Some people, because of their Jewish heritage and their family connections, would get circumcised so as not to be offensive to someone. That's perfectly fine. But a Gentile coming into the church who doesn't come from a background where circumcision is practiced, he says it's totally unnecessary to get circumcised. Titus wasn't forced to be circumcised when he met with the apostles because there's no need for it. It doesn't count for anything. What does count for something is faith working through love. We receive the love of God. We love God because he's first loved us, and we have faith in God. We trust in him, and we walk in the way of love. He says this new way that the Galatians had been persuaded into pursuing, this way of legalistic self-righteousness, is so antithetical to the gospel that Paul says were he himself to go back to preaching circumcision, he would no longer be persecuted because the offense of the cross has been removed. In other words, the most offensive thing that Jesus does when he comes to human beings is he absolutely eviscerates us of any shred of self-righteousness. That's the thing that the world can't really stand about the gospel. The world will accept 1,001 different paths of self-actualization, of discovering yourself, of improving yourself, of becoming a better person. But this whole idea that God became a man so he would die on a cross to rescue us from our sins because we couldn't save ourselves, the idea that we are that bad that we need Jesus to do all the saving work for us, that is the offense of the cross. The offense of the cross is removed if we try to go back to a self-centered self-righteousness. And he says he's so frustrated with these Judaizing circumcisers. He says, I wish they would go all the way and emasculate themselves. It's pretty powerful language. But again, he comes back to freedom. He says, but you were called to freedom. Verse 1 had said, for freedom Christ has set you free. And so in verse 13, he comes back to it. But you were called to freedom. Okay, so if we have freedom, does that mean we get to do whatever we want? I'm free. I'm not under the law. Does that mean I get to just do whatever I want? No, because that's still self-centered, isn't it? That's still flesh, isn't it? That's still living for yourself. Self-directed, self-pleasing life. No. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law, the moral law, the law that God wants us to reflect, the moral law of God, the summary of that whole is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's talking about the horizontal level here. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we are supposed to be walking in, the way of love, faith working through love. How do we do that? Well, we need to walk by the Spirit, and we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And that means we need a complete God dependency and not a self-reliance. If we're self-centered and self-reliant and self-righteous and self-determined, what are we going to have? We're going to have the works of the flesh. This is why sometimes the most strictly religious people are often covering over a rotten core of horrible, sinful lives, of this hypocrisy. They put a veneer of self-righteousness over a rotten core of this fleshly behavior, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, fits of anger. Why is that? Why is it that sometimes some of the most religious people in the world are some of the most evil and corrupt at their core? It's because both a self-righteous religiosity and a self-indulgent sinful lifestyle are both the same thing. They're both the flesh. They're just different manifestations of the same thing, and it's a me-ism. It's a me-centered way of living life. So we have to set that aside by the power of God's grace, and to completely set that aside, and instead, we need to live because God's loved us, we love Him out of gratitude, and we seek to love others with the love He's given us. It's not about what we want. It's not about what we can do to prove how good we are. It's not about us at all. It's about Jesus and what He has done. And walking by the Spirit, we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is one of the worst things that some Christians do to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, is they turn it into a to-do list. They turn it into a new form of self-righteous religious do-goodism. I will be more loving, check. I will be more joyful, check. I will be more peaceful, check. I will be more patient, check. This is not the fruit of self-effort. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the Spirit of God living on us who brings forth this fruit by His grace. And the way we bring forth this fruit is that we realize we've belonged to Christ. We're no longer our own. And so we're going to keep in step with the Spirit. That means we're going to pray. We're going to read the Word. We're going to worship with God's people. We're going to confess our sin. We're going to deny ourselves. And we're going to follow after Christ. To keep in step with the Spirit means to keep walking by faith in Christ. In the Word, in prayer, in worship, in fellowship, in confession and repentance, we walk by faith in Christ. And that is what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can free us from the bondage of our sinful nature, our flesh. And only the Holy Spirit can bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives. And so the key is not to try harder, but to depend deeper on Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the work of Your Holy Spirit in bringing us to Christ and in growing us in Christ. Help us to keep in step with the Spirit today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that is Galatians chapter 5, day 200 here. Tomorrow, day 201, we're going to jump back to Numbers, pick up with Numbers chapter 13. Hope you can join us for that. And as always, of course, have a blessed day in the Lord.